Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your help, and we love you, Lord, and we appreciate your kindness to us. And Father, you are good, and you only do good, the scripture says, and how grateful we are for that. In the name of Jesus, that name above every name, praise the Lord. Well, could anybody tell me what this is? Souls from every nation. That is our vision. That is the thing the Lord has called us to believe. Yes, Sven, didn't know we were Swedish, did you? But this is the thing the Lord has called us to do, to believe with Him, and that's the larger vision. That is the vision that the Lord has given to us, and I could give you a history of that very quickly, but I won't do that at the moment, but it is something that God has put in our heart, and we've been praying and believing with Him for years. Now, there was a time in our history where we were very close to the Bible College of Wales and some of the great people that were there who served the Lord through World War II and on. And one of the men there was Dr. Kingsley Pretty. And we had a prophetic word after he went on to heaven. Someone gave a prophetic word that the Lord was looking for places to distribute that anointing. And it's not like one place, but numerous places. How many of you know? I mean, Peter was the first pope. Whatever, I'm not making fun of my Catholic brothers, but I mean, that anointing on him went to Mark. From Mark it went to. And that anointing, it all came from Jesus. You know, come on. And the anointing we have today, I believe it's increasing in the earth. It's enlarging in the earth today. And so we can expect greater miracles, greater signs and wonders. But at any rate, Dr. Pretty was known as a man with souls from every nation. It's a long story, but I won't give it all. But we felt like we were being examined. I remember those early morning prayer meetings. It was as if we were being examined by the Spirit of God. And this went on for weeks and weeks. But there came a time there was a release, a prophetic word again that said that that anointing was ours, you know, if you'd walk into it. So I so appreciated the Lord allowing that in our lives. And the baton, a baton in running in a race has two ends, duh. But it has two ends. And for us, it was this, souls from every nation. And on the other side was release of end-time finances. Amen. Yeah. Now, if you'll read the book, Reese Howell Intercessor, you'll see that very clearly in there. It may have different terms, but you'll see that in there. And I want to just say this clearly. With a church this size to have continued the way we have for decades, although at one time we were a lot larger, to continue as we have and ministered around the world, I tell you, brothers and sisters, it has been a miracle. Now, when I hear other ministries that we're connected with have breakthroughs financially, well, I would be a fool to say, we prayed for that, because they would go, yeah, right. They'd be gracious, though. I believe we had a part, because this is the anointing, and we believe for that. So I hope you understand that, and I hope that you will catch that as a vision, and it'll change you, and it'll work something in you. Now, if you go to Proverbs chapter, is it 28, verse 19? 29, 18? Without a vision, the people perish. Now, let me just say to you practically, as an individual, teenagers, listen, this is critical. If you don't have a vision, you're going to die early. How many people have you seen in life retire, and as soon as they retire, they die? I've seen it over and over and over. Because their vision, even though it might not have been a great vision, their vision was to get up and go to work every day. And as soon as they didn't have that, they died. Well, how many people live life now? They have no vision in life, have no purpose in life, they have no direction in life, they have no meaning in life, they have no significance because there's no vision in their life. Merriam-Webster says this about vision. It's something seen as in a dream, a trance, or ecstasy. Especially a supernatural appearance that conveys a revelation. You see, every one of you have a spiritual DNA that God has put in you. He's made you to do something. He's made you to be something. And if you don't do that, I tell you, you will die. Even if it's just spiritually die. Even if it's just emotionally die. But that vision that you've got of who you are and what God has called you to do will produce in you life and life to everybody else around. If all you're doing is sitting around doing nothing, I tell you what, you're dying little by little by little by little. Merriam-Webster also says this. It's a thought, a concept, an object formed by the imagination. God gave you an imagination. He wants you to use it for the kingdom. It's a manifestation, listen to this, to the senses of something immaterial. Sounds like faith, doesn't it? You know, your senses might not be able to grasp certain things, might not be able to grasp certain vision, but I tell you what, your faith can. And then it says this, it says, it's a mode, of seeing, I like this, a mode of conceiving. Expecting What to Expect, was that the name of that book, Matthew? What to Expect When You're Expecting. Man, when he said he went over there in the pregnancy, Lyle, I thought, oh, man, oh, Jesus. Whatever. Jesus, what's a father to do? Man, I got all these old sons. No, I'm just kidding. So Patty and I went down to see Mom last week, and, you know, we're there. Grandma's going. She's got 6 grandkids, and she says, when are these kids going to give me some great-grandkids? I said, don't look at me. I don't know. Call the kids. But it's something conceived. What vision will do is it will conceive something inside of you. And you get up in the morning going, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're pregnant, ladies, you know you get up in the morning, you're aware of something there. I remember it was such a thrill, wasn't it? The first time, you know, you got your hand on that old fat old basketball belly, you know, and something kicks you. It's like, whoa, you know, I was laying one time in Patty's lap, you know, and then boom, oh, what? I mean, it is just such a thrill. But guys, when you have a vision, it'll do that to you. You need to get a vision for your life. So, oh, man, I know what happens. When finances are down, when your body is sick, sometimes all you can do is just live. I understand, just to get through the day is something. But I tell you, you need a vision beyond just getting through the day. You got to have a vision to something to do with your life and to minister to people. Oh, my. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Jacob for a minute. Now, you can find this story in Genesis chapter 30, and I'm not going to go through this whole thing right at the moment with you. I'd like you just to read it on your own. But in Genesis chapter 30, Jacob, he's the grandson of Abraham. And, you know, he had to go down and live with his family away from his immediate family because of his lying, his cheating. You know the story. And guys, let me tell you something. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And so Jacob's down there. He's cheated his brother out of his birthright. Of course, his brother didn't really love it. But that's another story. And so he's now living in a distant land, and he's working for his family, and his uncle takes him to the cleaners. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he just cheated him and cheated him and cheated him. And so here's the thing, guys. You need to listen to this. Would you say this? The blessing of the Lord is upon his people. Therefore, the blessing of the Lord is upon me. And so you see, Jacob's down there, and he's a supplanter. He's a deceiver, and he's down there. But I tell you something. Grandpa's blessing is on him. Dad's blessing is on him. And so he's down there, and he gets a revelation. He got a vision. I don't know how it happened, but he got a vision. And so what he started to do is he you know, that blessing's working. So he went to his uncle, and he said, Uncle, you know, I've worked for you for 7 years for my first wife, and then I had to work another 7 years to get the wife I really wanted. How'd that make the first one feel? But nevertheless, I mean, it is the what it is. And then he said, you know what? You've changed my wages 10 times. And he said, you're just conning me all the time. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, what I'd like to do is I'll take all the spotted and speckled and all the striped goats and sheep, all the ones that are brown, because we understand you want the good sheep, the ones with the good white wool. And so I'll just take the ones that are speckled and spotted. So what Jacob did is he went out and he got a bunch of sticks and he cut stripes in them or spots in them, whatever, and he stuck all those things out there where all of the herds were drinking. Well, lo and behold, all of the herds started having speckled and spotted and striped little lambs. So he just, you know, and the reason he did that is, listen, that way you'll know there won't be any cheating. I'll get the ones that are spotted and speckled and striped, and you'll get all the white ones. And God began to work something. And before you know it, Jacob had all of Laban's stuff. Now, if you went to CSU, you know, CSU, for those of you maybe who are new to the area, CSU is famous, has been. CU's famous for its partying, but they're famous for their medical and their engineering departments, but UNC is famous for its education and for its music and its whole art department coming up. CSU, though, is famous for its agriculture. It was an Aggie school for a long time. So if you went up there and you were to say and read this story to them in the ag department, they'd laugh at you. They'd say, that's a myth, it's a wives' tale, and it doesn't happen that way, and you're being deceived by that. And so the question we have to ask, what is it then? Was it just some kind of subliminal hocus-pocus, you know, that Jacob was operating in? I love this little cartoon. It says, I think I'm getting a subliminal message from my Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop, and he's lying down at the psychiatrist's table. You know, so why do you think that fast food people advertise on late night television? So tomorrow, after you've seen this between, you know, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock at night, you'll wake up thinking about Wendy's whatever, or I'm loving it, or whatever it might be. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, this was really a big deal. And for those of you kids going, 50s or 60s, yeah, well, was there life back then? Yeah, and there were movies, too. And there was a big scandal, and actually it became illegal, but they would go to the movie theater, and they would show little blurbs just like that. That's one of the frames in the movie. Go eat popcorn. And people start getting up and walking back and getting popcorn. And they finally said, whoa, time out. That's illegal. You can't do that because it's a message that people are not rationally understanding. It's subliminal, and therefore that's illegal because that's, you know. Now, you can go even now. You can go online very quickly and find all the subliminal messages in the Walt Disney movies and cartoons and on and on and on and on. But nevertheless, You know, what was going on here? What was Jacob doing? Was this some subliminal thing here? Again, CSU would tell you you're nuts. Well, what was going on? Is a faith connection. For Jacob, it was a faith connection. It's something he could put his faith on, saying, I'm believing for this. See, it wasn't magical, but it was supernatural. He put his faith on it. Now, we as people of spiritual beings, we have to be able to put our faith on something. And so sometimes we have to, you know, Smith Wigglesworth used to say this, faith is an act. And you can talk about your faith all you want to, but until you act, we can question whether you have real faith or not. And I remember years ago, Patty and I, after we were married, we began to, you know, as couples do, we began to dream of a house because we were in a one-bedroom apartment. And we began to dream of a house. And we wanted property in the country. And so we began to dream and, you know, we had a vision book. I mean, Patty started writing things in a book, pictures, magazines, whatnot. But for me, I had to have something I could put my faith on. You know, as a guy, and we're interested in gardening a little bit, you know. And Mother Earth News what didn't cut it, just to read, you know, because we had this little garden or this little apartment. So I thought, you know what, I got faith. I'm going to put my faith on something. And then everybody's going to think I'm nuts. My wife thought I was, but she didn't say so. So I bought the biggest, baddest Troy-built rototiller I could find. I mean, I got the biggest model. Because I'm going to be rototilling my own garden. So I was over at my mom's house. You know, her little tiny backyard. I dug that all up. Over to my dad's house. Dug up his backyard. Well, I had a rototiller, no place to do it. I had to do something. They had gardens. I'd never had before. Then we ended up, well, we also did this. This is how much we were paying monthly. I said, let's begin to put a savings every month that's going to be the same amount that we would for buying a house. I'm paying this in rent. Let's begin to put that away in savings. So when we start our down payment, or so when we start our mortgage, this is what we're paying. You see what I'm saying? I could put my faith on that thing. Well, we ended up building our first house, and it had a littler backyard than my mom's or dad's. But that Troy built, I had a vision beyond that. And now I have a John Deere. And I just was telling Patty, that thing's too small. It's too small for what's coming. It's too small for what's coming. But you see, you got to have something you can put your faith on. It might not be a rototiller for you, but it might be something else. But you got to have something you can put your faith on. And that's what Jacob did. God met his faith, and all those little sheep came out, and the little kids came out, bawn, and they were all striped. And pretty soon his cousins were going, Daddy, Daddy, Jacob has stolen all of our glory. He's taken our wealth. Was it Jacob? Was the blessing of God working? Oh, dear friends, praise the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Like Jacob, you can do something to change your future. And you can change your destiny for good if you'll do it. But like too many people, like these three monkeys, and I'm not calling names, a lot of Christians are consciously unaware, or one term is this, consciously incompetent. They're happily ignorant to do nothing with their lives. And they refuse to take the necessary steps to achieve the things God has for them. Joshua, come on up here. Take a microphone and quickly explain these to us. Now, you could find these 5 points in a flying school as a pilot. You could see these 5 points in a learning how to use a firearm, maybe in something in the Marine Corps. But would you just kind of quickly just tell us what these 5 things mean?
Sure. So this really applies to any skill or to anything that has to be mastered. You have, when you're introduced a concept or you're introduced a skill, you become consciously incompetent. Previous to that, you were unconsciously incompetent. You didn't know what you didn't know. Okay, so you didn't know how to properly shoot a firearm. You didn't know how to, you know, change your oil or whatever the case may be. And when that concept is introduced to you, when you're presented the opportunity, when you realize, oh my gosh, I do not know how to do this, you can choose to become intentionally incompetent. And would you say, I'm going to do nothing about it, and I don't care. Or you can work on becoming consciously competent, where you learn that skill and you apply it. But if you're consciously competent, you know how to do it, but you have to think about doing it as you do it. And so after a lot of practice and after a lot of hard work and experience, you can ascend to the level of unconsciously or unconsciously competent where you just do it naturally. So that's what all those mean.
Awesome. So what does that have to do with us today? How many of you know you need to discipline yourself in the Word? See, as a pastor, I can just go, ah! Well, Pastor, would you pray for me? I just need healing. How old of a Christian are you? I've been in this church pastor for 20 years. I don't know why I'm not blessed. I would say maybe you are intentionally incompetent in the Word of God. You've chosen not to hide the Word of God in your heart. You've chosen not to pursue the things of God. See, God wants us to come to that place where we are unconsciously competent. What I mean by that is this. Oh, what is that pain? Oh, God, help me. Honey, call 911. Or you do this. The Word says, by His stripes I am healed. It comes out of you like if somebody pushes you, it just goes off inside of you. So I tell you what, you want to know where you fit in there? Hit your hand with a hammer. You'll find out if what's inside of you is praise to God or a curse word. You'll find out real quick where you fall into that. Now, no, I don't recommend anybody go. I tell you where this will fall with your healing. When you go to the doctor and he gives you a bad report, you'll find out where you're at, whether fear will take hold of you, or whether the Word is working. Amen. You'll find out where you're at in this when you have a financial crisis that comes. And how many of you know they come? Yeah. Or a child or whatever it is. You'll find out where you're at in here. And I guess I'm going to give you guys the benefit of the most doubt. I believe we're probably most of us are walking in the consciously competent. We got to work at it, but we're working at it. See? Okay. Now, this was just a slide I pulled off the internet, but it says conscious mind and the unconscious mind, and I'm not going to get into all that. Let me just say this. As Christians, you know, when you ever read any psychology stuff, you go, oh, they just don't get it all. But man is a spirit. He has a soul, which is his emotions, his mind, and his will. And then we live in a body. And if we understand that we're tripartite rather than bipolar, curse reverse. Thank you, Don. Woo-hoo-hoo. So, but we understand that things become in perspective. Now, also, very quickly, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ today who teach that the heart and the spirit are the same. And let me just tell you, that's not true. Let me just say this. The heart is the soul and the spirit together. There's a hidden man of the heart and an outer man of the heart. And the outer man of the heart, everybody sees. When you're having a bad day, everybody gets it at the office because you're either mad or because you're crying or because that's the emotional man that everybody sees all the time. The hidden man of the heart is the spirit. That's where the Spirit of God communicates with you, and that's where that knowing is, that intuition is. That's where the spiritual things take place. And that's why, you guys, you cannot wait around trying to hear God with these ears. I've heard the Lord speak to me audibly with these ears. At least it was so loud I thought it was these ears. It might have been just in my spirit so loud. But, guys, you need to understand that, and that'll help you understand what's going on in the world. So here it is, guys. Watchman Nee used to say it this way. He said there was a latent power of the soul. I believe that when Adam fell, God turned the soulish part of man way down. That's Markology. I can't say that that's scriptural. I just believe because I'll tell you something. I wish you'd, that car would have a wreck. See, if everything was turned up high volume, when your spirit, you get mad and you speak words of curse. Now, listen, it's important to understand. As your pastor, I have authority to speak over your life. You say, thank God for a pastor who's blessing me. Huh? This is why, women, you better find a man of God, because what he says over your life, well, I'm a woman's liberal, I can do whatever. Your husband has authority over your life. You better find a man who speaks God blessing over you. I'm just telling it like it is. If you want to argue with me, talk to the book or the author of the book. And I tell you what, my wife is such an encouragement to me. She speaks God's word to me when I'm just struggling. She just gets in there and she goes for it. I appreciate a woman of God who speaks blessing to me. The other night, one of our boys at dinner table asked him to pray, and he prayed, and he just said, thank you for parents who love me and are for me. I think, yeah, Jesus, thank you. What a blessing for a dad to hear that from a son. May not have all the answers, but I'm for him. And I might not have all the answers for you, but I'm for you. Right. And we'll get in here and we'll fight for you and we'll swing with you and we'll do whatever it takes to get you home. Praise God. Serving Jesus. Yeah, you can shout here. I tell you. But I tell you, that power of the word working in you to accomplish what God has planned for you. Don't underestimate the power, and there it is. What's going on in the spirit realm is far greater than what you can see. See, what we believe and what we're saying is fashioning our future. James chapter 3 says so. It says the course of nature is set on fire by your tongue. Matter of fact, whether you believe it or not, whether you get angry about it or not, whether it fits into your doctrine or not, your life right now is a product of what you've been saying and what you've been believing. Go ahead and say amen, because it's right. You say, oh man, my life's such a mess. Well, praise the Lord, change course. Why do you think we get up here every Sunday and declare these verses? To change the course of your life. Listen, I heard a man years and years ago, I think it was Bob Mumford, and he said this. He said, you know, the Word of God is like a bulldozer going through time. And he said, if you want to end up where God's at the end of time, get on the bulldozer, because everything else is going to be pushed aside. If your life's a mess, get on the bulldozer and let it clear the way for you. And it will do it, because it has the power in itself to produce what it's promised. Well, let's look at Abraham now. Oops, wrong Abraham. wrong Abraham. Okay. So now we come to Abram, the exalted father. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. And would someone read it out loud? Because obviously I have control of the computer back there, and they can't throw the verse up there. So someone read that nice and loud for me. What a promise of the father to Abram. Oh, do you get this now? Do you suppose Jacob got some of this from Grandpa? Now, this is awesome. Abram, I'm going to give you children that are innumerable. Look at the sand. Abram, look at the sky. I'm going to give you children that are innumerable like the stars. Your natural children, after your flesh, are going to be like the sand. Your spiritual children are going to be innumerable. By the way, that's who most of us are. Abraham, listen, Romans says this. Romans chapter 4. The ABCs of faith, here they are. As it is written, Abraham believed God's word. He just didn't believe God. He believed God's word. And there's a belief in God. Abraham, against hope, believed. And then he called things that are not as though they are. I tell you, Abraham's faith captured God's heart. My question, you know, you look at some of these people in the New Testament. I think of that Gentile centurion captured Jesus' heart. Oh, man, in all of Israel, I haven't found someone full of faith like you. And then there was that little Syrophoenician woman, another Gentile, captured him. Matter of fact, she didn't capture his heart. She arrested him. Read the story. She arrested him. I want faith that arrests Jesus. If I say that righteously, you understand. So Abram became Abraham, the father of many nations. Now, what's a name change have to do with things? I've got to race, but let me just say this. Oh, exalted father, it's time for dinner. Oh, exalted father, it's time for dinner. Okay, fine, good. He's got 400 servants. Think he was rich? Do the math. 400. I mean, he had more than that because he had over 300 who were fighting at the age of fighting. That didn't count the women or the children. So who knows? He may have had 1,000 servants. Yeah, could you imagine? So, exalted father, it's time for dinner. And he has an encounter with Almighty God. And now God changes his name. And so Abraham stands up in front of his tribe. These are all servants except for his wife. And he says, from this moment forward, you will no longer call me exalted father. I can hear the staff going, oh boy. What's it going to be? You're going to call me father of many nations. Old man. So what's happening now? Just like Jacob with the striped and spotted and speckled. Now, every time Abraham hears, Abraham, father of many nations, something's working in him. Now, Abraham is out and he's beginning to get pounded. Oh, you're going to die and you're not going to have any children. You're going to die and you're not going to have any children. But you see, that promise would begin to work in him. God gave Abraham something to put his faith on. When the doubts began to assail him, when he began to think, will I ever have children? Will I ever have those children? What can I do? God says, count them, Abraham. We got a handful. See, you need something the same way. You need something that you can say. And I tell you what, we do have the Bible. We do have the promises of God's word. That's why this pastor wants you to break the book open and to read the thing, because it is filled with great and mighty precious promises of God, whereby you become the partaker of the divine nature. Now, wow. Now, and so at nighttime, he's getting assailed. Oh, man, where's the sand? I can't see the sand. That's okay, because now I can look at the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're going to have natural children. You're going to have spiritual children. Now listen, guys. Now faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. At some point, guys, you've got to choose to believe God over your poverty, over your body that's screaming at you, over a child that's away from God. At some point, you've got to believe God. Your senses may say one thing, but God's word will say something else. Now, let me just say this to you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is a God of covenant, and he is a God of families, and he's a God. I'll tell you something, that's why he sets us in a church. Whether you like it or not, God sets us in people. And whether you like it or not, that's why he sets you in a family. Because he's a God who loves family. So we're not a club. If I was just after a club, I'd be on a motorcycle this morning. Well, I would be. But we're a living organism. That means we have need of one another. Well, speckles, streaks and spots. This is the blessing of God operating to defend Jacob. I want to tell you something, guys. It's not automatic, but the blessing will defend you too. So you need to become consciously competent concerning the Word of God. And you need to become an unconsciously competent doer of the Word of God, where you do what God says because it's just part of your life, not because you got to go look it up in the book and find the chapter and verse. I mean, thank God for the chapter and verse, and you need to do that. That's how you get to that place, is having done the work. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of your mouth. Shall meditate therein day and night to observe to do according to all that's written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Oh, how come I don't have any success? Because you're not a doer of the word. You've not taken the word and put it into your heart. Whatever he does shall prosper. Let me ask, is whatever you're doing prospering? Psalm 1 says this, that it'll bring forth its fruit in season. Whatever you do will prosper. Quickly, I've got to race. Habakkuk 2 says this, write the vision, make it plain, so he that reads it may run with it. And it will come to pass, be patient. You kids ought to have a vision. You ought to have a vision board. You ought to be putting up what you're dreaming about, what you want to do in life, how you want your life to affect the kingdom of God and affect this world for the kingdom of God. You ought to be putting that up on the back of your door or something. I don't know. Man, when I was a kid, guys put all, you know, Farrah Fawcett up on their walls. You put the Word of God up. You put your vision up. You want to put up there what you're going to do for the kingdom. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says this, for a dream comes with much business and painful effort. Yep, if you've got a dream, you might have to go to college. You know, you might not have to, but at some point you're going to work hard. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to expend yourself. You're going to have to, listen, guys, you remember the story of Reese Howells, and I just love this story, believing for 20 pounds, and his friend had never had, this guy was a minister, by the way, and he'd never had a miracle, or never had an answer to prayer. Reese said, come pray with me. They went, you went to your room, I went to my room, and they prayed for hours, I don't know, a couple hours, came out and said, well, did you pray through? And the guy said, I don't have a clue what's going on. I'm just 2 hours of time, you know. Reese said, well, I didn't get prayed through. Let's go pray through again. The guy said it would have been better to go work for the 20 pounds than to go believe for the 20 pounds. The life of faith is a hard life of work. It's not just, oh, yeah, well, it just comes. God loves me. No. It is a hard, I tell you what, a life of faith, it takes something from you. Okay, 1 Samuel 22. For sake of time, there were 400 men who came to David. They were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. The Lord spoke to us and said he wants to give us 400 people by January 1st, 2019. Amen. Now, distress are welcomed. Those in debt are welcome. And those discontented are welcome. But let me say something to you. Just as I am, you can come just as you am, but like Billy Graham says, you don't stay just as you am. God wants to change us. He wants to transform us into the image of His Son. We will welcome the distressed. We will welcome those in debt. We will welcome the discontented ones. But I tell you something, guys. God wants us changed into the image of His Son. And Jesus is neither in distress, in debt, or discontented. So, say with me, 400 by January 1st, 2019. 400. Equals you and 399 others. It's that simple. That's simple. Oh, Pastor, you're getting into numbers. What did Riley say? It's all about the numbers. Yeah, that's even the best. And Riley said that too, I think. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, guys, 400 equals you and a friend times 200. You and your family times 100 or times 50 or whatever it is. It's 20X fellowships and 20 people. Now, let me just ask you, and let me ask you, winning 20 people to the Lord, what would you say? Easy peasy. I mean, before I'd have gone, you've probably won that many people, Lord, in the last month yourself. See, she's shaking her head. Yeah. Wow. All right. 400 equals you and your sphere of influence, plus me and my sphere of influence. Sphere of influence. What's the sphere of influence? You know what it is. 400 equals us and our neighbors and our neighbors. 400 is me and you and Jesus times the Holy Spirit. 5,000 on the day of Pentecost. Easy peasy. Oh, 400 is us plus a lifestyle of invitation. These are all words that you're familiar with. It's us in a lifestyle of Celtic evangelism. And it's us, two questions, plus three verses, plus one prayer, times 400. And we're already to 40, or however many. We've seen, guys, almost 200 people come to Christ in the last month. I was thinking, what is going to be our church's number of people we're going to see come to Christ this year? It will far exceed the number that will come here. I hope you guys are praying about a number for Poland. Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, I know the script has more than two questions, but the two that I'm talking about are, suppose you were to, I mean, not saying that you would, but if you were to die tonight, and then also, then if, you know, What would God say? Why would you let him in? Okay. 400 is Jesus plus you plus me and loyalty to this company of believers. You got to be a team player, guys. If this church is good enough for you, it's good enough for your family and your friends. Now, let me say, faithfulness to God is loyalty, is demonstrated by his loyalty to God's people. Now, let me just say, as over the years, and I can say this with great confidence, and I'm not going to back off of it. I'm not even going to let the devil pick on me when I go home today. And, well, he often does. But over the years of 38 years of ministry in Boulder County, I can say this. We've almost always attempted to put the kingdom first. When we ran the March for Jesus's, it wasn't about our church. It was about the kingdom. When we did the National Day of Prayer, although our people were the bulk of the hard workers, we're the ones who did the cooking and had the meals for the police and fire department. We're the ones who did all. Matter of fact, you guys were the ones who show up for most of the prayer meetings. But we would always do it. Matter of fact, I even came to some of the big churches and said, if you guys will get involved, I'll give you the whole leadership to this thing if you'll just do it. It's that important. They wouldn't do it. We've never had sticky fingers, although I will say to you, if you will stick, God will heal you here. Now, with that said, see, this is not a message I normally preach, is it? For those of you who've been here for 30 years, no. You got to be loyal to the church. Starting to sound like a Catholic now. You got to be loyal to the church. You got to be committed to the church. Now, if you'll just read, you know, in Luke chapter 24, they're talking and they're saying, the women who were part of our company amazed us with this story that Jesus was raised from the dead. The apostles talked about, we have sent to you some men from our company. I'm going to hold my tongue there. And notice, discipline came out of that as well. It's in Acts chapter, I'm not sure where it's at. Maybe 6:16 or 7, 5, I don't know where it's at. But it's at the apostles are giving, in Jerusalem, they're actually having a council. So maybe it's 15. And, you know, they were able to speak discipline because they were out part of a company. Just important to understand that. Listen, guys, 400 times zero is zero. And if you are a lone ranger, you're endangering your soul. Please understand that. No condemnation, but you're endangering your soul. Quickly, I'm almost finished, guys. 400, a 400-member congregation in the midst of a general population of 250,000, which is Boulder County, it's less than 0.2% of the population. Surely there are 400 people who would find themselves at home with us. Yes. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, let's go look at this. Wow, 400, a congregation of 400 in the midst of a general population of 86,000, that's the city of Longmont. That's 0.4%. Did you get that? Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. And guys, listen, surely there are 400 people who would relate to us. I mean, you're the great congregation. I believe the best in you. I tell you, what's not to like? We're a fun group. And we're committed to Christ. You know, matter of fact, this happened to me yesterday, and it happens to us, and I'm about ready to close. Now, some folks have got to leave for whatever reasons, but I'm about ready to close. So this happens all the time. You know, Dwayne did this to me yesterday, and I can pick on Dwayne. So I was coming out of Starbucks, and Dwayne was coming into Starbucks with his date. And he said to me, well, they'll let anybody in there. Now, how many of you have ever said that to somebody? Yeah, we all have. And it's kind of a subtlety, but it's just a buddy thing. It's just a friend thing. And, you know, I thought, I didn't answer it out loud, but I thought, yeah, Starbucks is upscale. I know that's not what he meant. Because we were, you know, there was a little banter. You guys know what I'm saying? But normally I go, oh, man, yeah. It's upscale. Guys, you want to know something? You're upscale. Well, yeah. You just ought to look at somebody and say, yeah, you're upscale. This isn't an upscale place. This is a happening place to be. All right, guys, let's race to the finish. Nothing is impossible. Now, you can take these verses home. I can do all things through Christ. Nothing's impossible to him who believes. All things are possible. Tell somebody, all things are possible. My question is this: is it possible to have a real international church in Longmont? When I say international, I know how people are. I know how people are. And now, you know why Germans are all blonde? Well, or Scandinavians? Because they like each other. Well, come on. And so I know, see, this is why you can have, and this is in here in American Colorado, we've got them, a Korean church, Korean Christian church. Why? Because they like each other. Remember, I've told you the story. I was in Poland. I was driving. My host was taking me to church. I'm preaching in Polish churches. And I said, well, you know, I'm so excited this morning. And she says, why are you excited? Because I'm going to go preach in an Australian church. She says, no, you're not. You're preaching in a Polish church. I said, no, I'm not. I'm preaching in an Australian church. And she went, you may speak Polish in your church, but you are Australian now. So I understand, you see, that's why. But you know what, guys? I believe we can have an international church. You know, Patty and I, Kiana and Izzy invited us to go to their band concert. And so we went to Twin Peaks Charter Academy. I thought I was at an international airport. I'm not kidding you. Asians everywhere. I was going, yeah, Lord, I love this. Hispanics everywhere. Mexicans everywhere. Indians everywhere. Where are the white people? I was in heaven. It was awesome. And I'm thinking, Patty and I were standing in the back because we got there late, you know. Jammed. I thought, you see a vision for church? Standing room only? And not everybody's white? And blonde? Listen, I like blonde. Because you get my point. Is it possible to have an international church in Longmont? I don't want just 400. I want them out of every tongue. And I want them out of tribe. And I want them out of every nation. And I know that doesn't work in so many places, for whatever. But I believe we can be a demonstration to Boulder County and to Noco that there is something that works among the peoples of God. But it's going to take you to help. Is it possible? Is it possible? Praise the Lord. Well, we have a bright future. And Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. And this is our year for the greater. Guys, you can believe it, you can expect it, and you can bank on it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Would you just stand to your feet? You know, you've been patient this morning. You survived 3 messages. Praise the Lord. I don't think you can overdose on the word. You guys must have needed it today. Father, I thank you because you love us. You've put a vision in us. And Father, I thank you. It's your desire, oh God, to change Longmont and Boco and Noco. You are. It's your desire, oh God. It's your desire to give us an international people who love you, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. Oh, we worship you, Father. Praise God. How we thank you. Well, I'd like you to say, this is my year for the greater.
This is my year for the greater.
And I'm living in the greater now.
I'm
And Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. The favor of God is my shield. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. And I'm blessed in the field. All that I put my hand to prospers. Because the word says, the blessing of God is upon his people. And therefore, the blessing of God is upon my life and upon my family. And I'll serve Jesus wholeheartedly. I'll follow him wholeheartedly. And I declare with great boldness and confidence, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Let's give him a shout. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.